Well, good evening, everybody. This is Bill Crozier. I'm convening a work group for the PNB Election Committee. This is Monday, March 8th, 2010. And again, it's not the whole committee. Whoever on the committee wanted to be on the call is welcome. But let me call the roll, or the people who I think are on the call, and if there's anybody else, they can identify themselves. Wesley Bethune?
Here.
Peter Tucker?
Here.
Dan Siegel?
Here.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yep.
Who's not on the committee this year, but has been in the past. And John Amelia is streaming it for us. I'm Bill Crozier. Anybody else on the call? Okay, well, there may be some more that might be joining us. I know a couple others had expressed interest last week, or a couple of weeks ago. Did all of you get a copy of the, and get a chance to look at the request for proposal letter that we sent out a little over a year ago? It's dated January of 2009. And I thought we might use that as a starting point. Let me go. I tell you, before I get into that, let's go over our draft agenda here. Let me see. What I had sent out was approval of agenda, 5 minutes. Elect chair and secretary for this work group, 5 minutes. Review the January 2009 request for proposals and develop recommendations for contracting out election tasks and cost savings, 90 minutes. Determine next work group meeting date, I guess it's just the if any, 5 minutes. Review action items, who's going to do what and when, 5 minutes. Then adjourn by about 10:30 Eastern time, possibly earlier. Anybody have any changes they want to make to that? Okay. Hearing none, then I guess we'll adopt that agenda. Somebody else join us?
Again.
I'm sorry, who?
Arlene.
Arlene, hi, welcome. We were just going over a draft agenda for the meeting tonight.
Okay, I was a little behind. It's
okay, well, we just started a couple of minutes ago.
I'm here.
Okay. And we have on the call Wesley Bethune, me, I'm Bill Crozier, Peter Tucker, Dan Siegel, Bonnie Simmons, who has been on the committee for several years. What else? Okay, so we just adopted a draft agenda that I sent out by email. Somebody like to be chair for this work group?
I never speak at once.
Lots of eager people here. Well, I'll be willing to do it if you all will help me. You want me to chair this work group?
Oh, hi, everyone. This is Tracy from KPFA. I got here a bit late. Sorry.
Hi, Tracy. Welcome. We're trying to elect a chair and secretary for this work group, at least for tonight, and it may continue for a while. I don't know. So, are you interested?
I'm going to beg off for now because I just am agreed to at least temporarily co-chair the coordinating committee.
Okay.
Could take notes if you want, but I don't want to do the chair thing.
Okay. Well, that was the second thing we were going to do. Okay. Well, I told people I'd be willing to chair this work group, but if somebody else is interested, that's fine with me. So I hear a motion that I chair the work group.
Yeah. I'm making that motion.
Is that you, Tracy?
For the record, I'm making that motion.
Okay. Okay, anyone else want to nominate themselves or anyone else? Okay, hearing none, then I guess nominations are closed. Do you want to make a motion that we accept me as chair by acclamation?
Yes, Bill, yes.
Okay, any objections?
None.
Okay, hearing none, then I guess I'm stuck with it. Okay, nomination open for secretary for the work group. It sounds like Tracy's already nominated herself.
Well, volunteer is kind of the way that I was thinking of it. If anyone wants to fight me for it, have at it.
Anyone else interested? Do we have a motion that we accept Tracy as secretary by acclamation?
Yes.
Any objections? Hearing none, and congratulations or sympathy, Tracy. Okay, Now, the main item on the agenda, just about the only item of substance, is to review that January 2009 request for proposals, where we were trying to contract out some of the work, and develop recommendations for contracting out election tasks and cost savings. That sort of goes along together. So we'd set up, I'd set down 90 minutes tentatively for that. So,
Do I remember correctly that that's really meant for the 2012 election?
Well, we passed a motion last general meeting of the committee to try to do that, at least a more comprehensive RFP. But I think it's feasible to do some of that this time too, especially starting now. And if we're only going to be doing part of what was in that previous RFP, my guess is that we can reduce the workload on our NES and get some of this done in a way that might also reduce costs, perhaps substantially.
What I'm actually asking is, am I needed for this meeting tonight? That's really what I'm asking.
This is Tracy. I mean, my sense of it, for what it's worth, would be probably not. I mean, basically, the full committee, and this is not the full committee,
already passed
a couple of motions.
I'm just swamped between KPFA and leaving town Saturday and having to give a final review of a grant that Brian has to turn in tomorrow, so I've got to sit up and do that tonight. And so if I'm needed, I'm going to bow out.
I think we can send you the notes from the meeting.
That would be great.
We'll probably discuss it in more detail at the general committee meeting next Monday.
Okie doke, that would be wonderful. And next Monday, I probably won't be available next Monday because I'm on the road, but if I'm able to, I'll tune in.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks, Arlene.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And did anyone else join us? Beep.
I thought. Yeah, Anthony here.
Hey, Anthony. Welcome.
Hi.
Anthony's another person who's been on the committee before when we were discussing all this. Okay, and just to let everybody know, especially Anthony, we have Wesley, me, Peter, Dan, Bonnie Simmons, Tracy, and Anthony on the call. And Tracy's taking notes for us. So, open to discussion. Anybody have any suggestions? I don't know if you saw what I emailed also this afternoon after Tracy and Ken had sent their email to the group. Sent kind of a long email with some background and some specific suggestions we might want to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Tucker. I found that very helpful. So.
Okay. Anybody have any suggestions where you want to start? Does everybody have the suggestions I sent? I could read those if you don't have them, and for the benefit of anybody that's listening later or listening on the stream, if you want me to. I'm not going to read all the background, but I could read the recommendations. Let me find that. Let's see. Has somebody else joined us? Okay, I guess not. Okay, specific recommendations to consider. One, make sure competent, trained personnel get our member and staff databases updated, corrected, and duplicates removed at each station by June 1st at the latest. Two, put all election-related information on one website, for example, Pacifica.org, and link to it from all stations' websites to make it easier to keep all the information correct, complete, and up to date. Separate pages could be used if needed for, and I meant to say each, a station. Three, plan on sending a postcard to all members in June, as noted in my background earlier in my email, to encourage them to get candidate pamphlets via the web and to return the postcard with their pre-printed name and address on it. If they don't have internet access or for other reasons still want to get the complete packet by postal mail, use reply service requested on these postcards to catch any address changes that have not already been caught and entered into the member databases. Make sure there are numerous on-air announcements to watch for this postcard and what to do with it. 4, set up a system, preferably both online and with a toll-free telephone number, to handle replacement ballot requests and requests for complete candidate information by mail for those members who don't respond to the postcard or change their minds later. We need to make this easy both to minimize complaints and to ensure that we reach quorum. 5, mail paper ballots to all members with reminders to go to the designated website for candidate info and how to request a packet by mail if they didn't send their postcard as requested in number 3 above. Note that mailing paper ballots rather than the entire candidate info pamphlet, even mailed to all members, greatly reduces printing and postage costs while being fair to all members regardless of whether they have internet access, and also eliminates possible security problems of electronic voting. I don't know if that's clear. The idea was mail only a paper ballot to everybody. 6, option, have all the ballots to be mailed by members to a single location to be handled by an election vendor with no ties to any faction or candidate and who will process and count the ballots. Parenthesis also reduces travel expense of having the NES go to each station individually for counting. The NES could still go to this one location, though, if we feel it's needed. 7, put all the scanned ballot images and round-by-round STV results up on Pacifica.org or other single website as soon as possible after the ballots are processed. Okay, that was what I had suggested in the email I sent earlier today.
Okay, this is Tracy. I think a lot of those suggestions are really good. I guess my question is, I think a number of them are stuff that the full committee should consider. They're not really tied specifically to the RFP.
Okay.
You know, to an extent. And some of them involve sort of recommendations of the person who's going to be doing the job, sort of how to do it. I thought that this subcommittee was going to specifically look at the RFP.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, are we doing that? And then I think the issue of, are we doing that in accordance with the motion that we passed last month? Or are we reopening the issue of contracting out more work besides the printing and the mailing this time around, which I thought the committee had decided that we weren't going to do? So I'm sort of throwing that into the loop because I do think we, you know, the committee's work should be consonant with what the full committee's doing.
Okay, good point. Other comments, anyone? Let me just say, after those 7 in my email, I said that note that item 2, which was the one about putting all the election-related information on one website, could be handled by our current Pacifica technical staff if they have time. And I did talk to Otis McClay, and he said, yeah, he would be interested in doing that. Or by an election vendor. And then I also wrote in, I said, items 3 through 7 could all be handled by an election vendor with overview and information provided by the NES. And they're similar to items 3 through 16 in that RFP. So I didn't want to, they're not as detailed, but if you want to go back to the original RFP, that's fine. And I don't want to go beyond what the committee authorized us to do. But, of course, whatever we do, it's just a recommendation anyway.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Anybody else who hasn't spoken up?
I just want to let you know I'm on. I'm late for about 20 minutes. This is Renee Bowser.
Oh, hi, Renee.
How are you?
Welcome. Did you get the RFP that we from January last year? And then I had also emailed some recommendations, a long email this afternoon.
Oh, no, I haven't been on today. I have the PNV Elections Committee report from January from the last
meeting. Well, if you're by your computer, you might want to check your email for something I sent this afternoon. It was a long email, but just skip through the background information and just go to the – I made some specific recommendations.
Okay.
Maybe to get us started. But Tracy was suggesting that we go back to the RFP. Is that what you were suggesting, Tracy?
I think that's what I'm suggesting, yeah.
Okay. That's fine, too. You want to go through each item and see what might be feasible to contract out this year and maybe what we for sure may want to work on next year? So I'm assuming we may want some subset this year to help especially with cost reductions and helping the, relieve the workload on the NES?
Well, I think we can go through both items with an eye to answering maybe both those questions.
Okay.
In regards to the section that we're looking at.
Okay. Okay, so let me, you want me to just go through briefly the RFP items, and we can discuss each one separately. Number one was appoint and supervise an NES and LESs. I'm assuming that wouldn't apply now because we've already decided that that wouldn't be contracted out.
Well, it wouldn't apply, I guess, certainly this year. I don't know that we've decided anything about 2012, 2013.
Oh, okay.
Have we?
No, I guess not. Okay. Okay, I'll just write down, Ron, not this year. My notes here for that one. And then 1B, clean up the mailing lists via NCOA, follow-up phone calls, et cetera, and dedupe by removing staff addresses, et cetera. Now, if our staff doesn't do that, I guess our NES and LESs are going to be stuck with it.
Hold on a
second. But at least,
yeah.
Do you think that would be feasible to contract out? I sort of assume not, but if we have a separate NES that's independently hired.
And you're discussing the request for proposal letter for the Election Management Services revised
right.
23 January 2009.
Right. This is one that we did get proposals from several companies last year, but we didn't really act on it. We didn't hire any of those companies. So do you want to think maybe 1B is possible we might want to contract out? I don't know. It's hard to define the scope of it, so therefore the cost might be hard to define too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. There's problems with typing and thinking at the same time, but I was trying to get kind of caught up on the draft minutes. But
you've been in LES, so you know how much work's involved with that.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is that certainly you're going to have LES and NES participation in sort of taking a look at the database and getting a sense of what needs to happen to get it to where it needs to be. And I think that you would want to do that in a consistent way throughout the network. In other words, you want the database pruning procedures to be consistent. What happened at KPFA when I did it was that I developed a way to do it in collaboration with the database manager, and it's in the report from way back when. And then it was actually carried out by work-study students. You know, once we developed the procedure for what we were doing.
Okay.
So, I mean, some of that labor, I think, is probably not best done by the LAS, because, I mean, you know, sitting there wiping out duplicate records for hours at a time isn't really what you want the LAS to be doing. But you have to have sort of LAS involvement in, you know, what's being done and why. And so I think there's a scenario where some of the raw database labor could certainly be part of a contract. But I don't know if the election companies that we're bidding would be economical to do that with. Probably not.
Okay.
Have we developed procedures for cleaning up the databases? And is it, do we know why they're so, I read your emails from, I guess, earlier in the week or last week, but do we know why they're in such bad shape, the membership list and the database? I mean, why they continue to not be able to
Well, so one of you was on the committee before. Want to answer that? I don't want to do all the talking here. We discussed this quite a bit last year, I remember.
I think that's so bad well, I don't know if it got so bad, but someone that I know who even paid in the beginning of the year a pledge by credit card and who gets notices, they just never gave her a ballot. I guess they didn't have her on some list. Are there separate lists or what is it?
Okay. I don't want to dominate things. I can answer a couple of those questions, I think, if no one else wants to. Yeah, okay. I can talk about my own station, and I don't know how much of it applies, but what I found when I was doing the job is you've got people in pledge rooms writing down names, and they're all spelling them differently, and they're spelling the names of streets differently, and sometimes they're spelling the names of cities differently. And if you have people entering those things into the Memphis database without sort of, what's the word, paying attention to potential problems or checking things, you're going to end up with a whole bunch of duplicate entries, bad addresses, erroneous stuff. One of the things that we did at KPFA was we ran proofs for duplicates. In other words, people whose names were spelled differently who lived at the same address, people with the same names at similar addresses. And we pulled out, you know, that 10% of the database was basically duplicates. So that's a part of it. The database should be one consistent one for all people who pay. Volunteers are often kept in a different database, like Fund Drive Room volunteers or people who volunteer at events at KPFA. We have a crafts fair. People volunteer for that. They're in a separate database. But theoretically, those should be the only different databases floating around. I don't know that it's really unsolvable. It seems to me that it's an issue of sitting down and doing it systematically before the election process. I think the problem is that we don't do it systematically.
What?
So all this stuff that happens in databases over time never gets dealt with, and it all turns into collection problems. I mean, usually what happens is when people don't clean out their databases is they just end up sending out a lot of mailings to bad addresses.
Right.
But in our case, we run into collection problems. And we run into accusations of unfair elections and people not getting ballots that should. So it's kind of serious. You know, more serious than just for people that are, you know, mailing out donation letters. But that's my sense of it. I mean, it's mostly just sort of grunt work in a way. You run these tests for, you know, things that are duplicated. And you get rid of the duplicates one by one. In terms of people who donated not being in the database, that's more serious. And, you know, I mean, it could be a mistake or it could be some sort of indicator that things aren't being entered on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a little scarier in terms of how to fix it. Because if the pledge cards aren't being entered into the database, then you've got, like, big problems.
Why would you put people who volunteer their time in a different database than someone who pays money? Because it might be that that person that volunteers might also pay some money. Why would they be in two different databases?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. They have to be in a separate database because, or they have to be in some database because people who volunteer 3 hours a year or whatever the number is can be members and vote. So you have to track it.
Right,
I think I can answer that because I've asked that also. And the problem is in MemSys, which is the member database that all of our stations use, isn't set up to collect that information. And at least that's what I've been told. And so like the long-term solution is probably going to be going to a different database.
Oh, that database can't record the fact that you volunteered 10 hours.
Apparently not. I'm not sure why,
wow.
But it's set up to collect... Really? Membership through donations primarily, and it'll, you know, dates of donations and all that, and so.
Okay.
It also isn't set up to handle the staff databases either. Well, the rest of you on the committee last year, want to mention any of the other problems that I know we've had so often repeatedly at these stations? I'll just throw out a couple. One is there seems to be inconsistency in how well the databases are maintained at each station. Some of the staff are very experienced and competent in knowing how to keep them updated, how to get address corrections from the Postal Service and get them entered into the database. Some either can't do it or don't have time or don't have enough people to do it. I'm not sure what. Another problem is related to the... training of the LESs, selection and training of the LESs, especially last year, it had to be done in a real hurry because Les was hired pretty late.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think some of the LESs, and he wasn't there at each station, you know, in person to interview the people or whatever, so I don't know. And there were just more problems and complaints at some stations for them to deal with, so they just got overloaded. Anybody else want to?
Thank you.
Jump in on that. We need to make sure we know what the problems are, because that's what we need to try to solve.
Well, you know, this is Dan. I mean, my experience is that because of both compensation issues and the lack of involvement buy the PSs and actually interviewing and selecting people that, you know, quite a few of the LESs, although well-intentioned, were just not very competent. And at least that's my experience. And I think that speaks to having some professional help in doing the elections and why we need the RFP.
Or training.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the fact is, I think that paying a company to basically do data entry is probably going to be fairly prohibitive.
In cost, you mean?
Yeah, because it's time-intensive work. I mean, like, we spent probably 95 hours of someone's work study cleaning out that database.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to pay someone by the hour, that's, you know, it's going to add up at every station.
Lot of money.
So I agree with that. I wasn't suggesting that we need election staff or contractor to do database. I think the issue there is getting the station management to take the issue seriously and to make sure it's done right.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we all kind of agree that 1B, this is the cleaning up the member data or the mailing list, probably isn't feasible to contract out at least this year?
Yep.
But the stations could probably use help with it. Okay. All right, the next item on the January 2009 RFP is coordinate supervisor candidate forums and monitor and enforce fair campaign provisions. I think this is something we probably would not contract out either. I mean, the NES, it's an NES and LES function. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, could you read that again, Bill? Just trying to type and
okay.
Coordinate candidate forums and...
Well, it's number two on that RFP. The whole thing is coordinate and supervise candidate forums both for live broadcast and at in-person community events with the assistance of local station personnel.
Okay.
Monitor and enforce fair campaign provisions, including processing complaints of violations.
Okay, thanks.
This was included in the original RFP because we... it sort of defines some of the duties of the NES and LES. And that was the idea last year was that we might contract out all of that. Okay, so that's not to contract out now. Okay, number three, and this is where this is one of the things I think we might be feasible to contract out. Design subject to foundation review, print and mail paper ballots, simple voting instructions, candidate statement pamphlets, and a fundraising appeal. All materials, with the possible exception of the actual ballot, shall be printed at a union shop. Okay, that's number three on there. And I do know that Les spent a lot of time last year. You know, this is during the crunch time, like in July, after all the candidate applications were in. He had spent a lot of time preparing and proofreading and correcting the candidate pamphlets.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much the LESs did, but I know he did a lot of that himself.
What do you mean?
Well, after you get the, you know, the candidate just, you know,
filled
out a form.
What do you mean he was correcting them? And
well, it's like typographical errors or a paragraph has got cut out accidentally or. He said there were even cases where I think somebody did a draft and they apparently need a lot of work, but there was, you know, like a paragraph of one state candidate got put in under another candidate's statement or something like that.
And this was the contracted out printer did that?
No, it wasn't the printer. It was whoever did the, you know, the artwork, whatever, the generated the file that would go to the printer.
Yeah, I think the language, I think there's usually a designer person who gets paid a small fee to lay it out, and then there's a printer, because the printer, of course, doesn't usually lay it all out for you. And what they do is take all those, you know, Word documents usually that people submit in all different fonts and handwritings and stuff, and you have to, you know, put them all together into a booklet.
Right.
I think the scenario there is that you're actually paying a couple of contractors, is what you're doing, and then you're paying your NES to manage your contractors. In other words, you are paying someone to lay it out, kind of, and then you are paying someone to print it and mail it.
Okay.
But the idea is that all of these folks are only doing part of it, and they need a certain amount of management.
Yeah.
Historically, and you have to get things from point A to point B. I mean, I think you could contract out the whole thing as a job, you know, receive all this stuff, put it all together, print it,
yeah,
and get it, you know, and mail it.
So consolidate all that maybe into one?
I think you could. I think once you get into multiple vendors and multiple contractors, you also get into paying someone to manage all the multiple vendors and multiple contractors.
Yeah.
I mean, the downside to it would be that there are a lot of things that, you know, LESs and NESs do for people in terms of letting them change their statement and alter their statement and add stuff and subtract stuff that you might not be able to get from a vendor without paying more. So it might become a much more rigid process than I think it often is.
Okay. Other comments, anybody? On this item? Okay. Well, this sounds like something we might consider contracting out. And, again, this might be combined with some of the later things, possibly, like sending out replacement ballots. I don't know. That's another mailing function. Part of that's mailing. Not all of it. Okay, so we'll consider contracting three. We can come back to that, maybe. Number four, prepare detailed election web pages for all five stations. And this is what I was talking about. You know, this last year we did, I think for the first time, we had a, you know, Pacifica.org, OTIS set up a little form that candidates could fill out, and they had to supply at least, I think, their name and email address in order to get the candidate packet. And that way they could keep track of who was considering being a candidate, so they could give them any updates. And then he also put all the candidate information there. So that was not done on each website separately. And that seemed to work pretty well. I think the LESs could also upload the candidate information from their station. So Otis didn't have to do it all. But it seemed to help having it. There was less duplication of effort having it done all in one place. Any comments about that?
You're saying that it's better to have it just on. I was so curious why it was on. The WPFW information was only on the Pacifica website, and if you pulled up the WPFW website, you really wouldn't have known there was an election. I didn't see that as positive.
Well, one of the problems is that there were not prominent links sometimes on all the individual stations to that, like, you know, click here to get election information or whatever. But they had, I know Les had problems, and our committee recommended several times some things that, like, just to get simple information like how to contact your LES or what to do to get a replacement ballot. It wasn't put up on all of the stations' websites, sometimes for weeks. And so it was, you know, I had to work with the webmaster of each station's website to get that information or any change that needed to be made. So it was like five times more work. And some of it didn't get done in a timely manner.
Okay.
At least that's the way I understood it.
You're saying if it's one location, you can make sure that one location is correct.
Right, and it's easier to keep it up to date. You could still have a separate web page on each there for each station. And then you wouldn't have to update the information on each station's website very often. You could just say, you know, click here to get, you know, election information or something like that. I don't know. Well, anyway, I did talk to Otis, and he was agreeable. He thought that you know, we could expand this information and do more this way, and he could probably do it. He and whoever else, John, if John helps or whoever, by doing it all in one central place. So we wouldn't necessarily have to contract it out to somebody outside of Pacifica, although we could if we chose to do that. Any other comments or suggestions on this? Is there other things we'd want to add?
Question is not on this specifically. Is this the regular committee meeting?
No.
I don't
no, this
hear
is a work group.
On here.
Yeah, sorry. This is a work group. It's open to the whole committee.
Oh, because, no, I didn't sign up for the work group, but okay.
Okay, well, you're welcome to join us. This is so we can go into this in more detail and come up with recommendations for the committee.
Okay. Yeah, I read about the work, but I didn't realize this was.
Okay, well, let me throw out something. It kind of fits in here. There was on replacement ballot request, because I also talked to Otis about this, and he agreed that that could also be something that could be added on Pacifica.org, so that, again, try to turn out, keep from overloading the LESs and the NES during the their really busiest time, is if we could encourage people to go to the website to request replacement ballots. That could also ensure, if they would do that, that they put in all the information that's needed, like email address and their name and their postal address, so that that could be checked against the member records to make sure that they're really a member and maybe they've just moved or something.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense, and certainly using Otis is a good idea, and using the Pacifica website, and I think that would work really well. My guess, my question is, are you envisioning, because you said something about there being a contractor element to this,
well,
and I'm just wondering how that would work for replacement ballots.
Well, if, you know, we could do it either way. This could be something maybe Otis could do. When I wrote that up, I hadn't talked to Otis yet.
Oh, okay.
And of course, this is something our management, Arlene, would have to ask him to do, because that's more work for him to do. if we had an election vendor handle the replacement ballot requests, it might be better for them to do it on their own website. I don't know, and just link to it from ours. I'm not sure.
I guess the question that I would have there would be sort of, you know, ongoing access to all the MEMPSIS info at all the stations, because you do have to check.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each replacement ballot involves some kind of a verification process.
Yep.
And it's true that you can have the lists, but if they don't solve the problem,
uh-huh,
it becomes like a troubleshooting thing with the staff of the station.
Okay.
And that could be hard to do remotely.
So how do you, what do you would recommend?
I think if you could, you know, what's the word? Automate the replacement process, that would be really helpful. Because, you know, having people constantly call and try to get a hold of people to place those requests or send emails to individual email boxes is kind of frustrating. So I think it would be great if there were a form that people could fill out that was automated, but I do think there might not be any way around having local LESs actually fill the requests, just because of that troubleshooting element, because sometimes people ask for ballots that aren't on lists, and there is a database problem. And you do have to do a little bit of research into why they think that they should get a ballot when they're not on the list, and whose problem is this? Is it theirs or ours? And I'm just not sure you could remotely really do an effective job at that.
Okay. Other comments, anybody? I only have first-hand experience how things were at KPFT, and I know some stations had huge number of replacement ballot requests. That was one reason for, you know, trying to have a way to collect, you know, simplify that for the LESs collected on the website.
Well, except that things are connected, and if the database work gets done, theoretically.
Yeah, but, right.
Maybe not so bad. I don't know.
Okay. So is it agreeable to try to include getting a replacement ballot, replacement ballot requests on a website, I guess, as well as by phone? We still need to have that.
Okay, so it sounds like automate replacement ballot requests.
Okay. One of the things we talked about last year was doing it, you know, if an election vendor was doing it, you'd have a single, like, toll-free number for anybody in the country to call requesting replacement ballots if they didn't want to do it on the web.
Hmm.
But we wouldn't, I don't know if that would be better or not, but if it has to go back to the individual LESs anyway, then it probably makes more sense just to call them.
I think in terms of troubleshooting, it often does. Not all the time. I mean, obviously, some requests are pretty straightforward.
Uh-huh.
But a chunk of the time, it does.
Yeah. Let me ask for suggestions from anybody, because I know there were lots of complicated problems reported that people didn't get follow-up on their, you know, they would call a number and leave a recording for the LES saying, I didn't get a replacement ballot, and they wouldn't hear anything. So Do we need a way of better tracking those replacement ballot requests?
Can we? I think we do. I know about 3 or 4 years ago, I called 2 or 3 times out to California the number, and I got a replacement ballot well after the election closed.
Mm. Crap.
Yeah. That was like I said, that was like 3 or 4 years ago. But it just never, because they had the number on the, they re-announced the number to call, and I called that number at least twice, and it was only a voicemail every time. It was nothing to get back to you that, yes, we've gotten your request, nothing.
Yeah, that's not good.
Agreeing with you that it's really, there's no, that was kind of disheartening. There's no, there was nobody to, no live person to talk to.
Yeah. Well, if it was done through the web, at least we can provide a log of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, with a phone, I don't know. I guess we need to think about how to, maybe it'd be better to have them all go to one place and then those recordings be kept or something and then send a copy to the LES. I don't know.
Well, if you have them all go to one place, then you can definitely, you know, keep a database of all the pending requests, which is not a bad thing. You know, there would have to be some back and forth about getting the requests out to the local person and getting some report back about how they dealt with it.
Uh-huh.
Would
that help the LESs if, say, a contractor did that?
I don't know. I'm thinking about it.
Okay, you want to come back to this?
It might. Let me say maybe. It might. I think it could be helpful, yeah.
Right. Because that's a real time, I mean, that's when you're getting a replacement ballot request, you tend to get a whole lot of them in a short time, too, right?
Yeah.
And you're also handling fair campaign provision complaints, too, at the same time.
Yes, and if you don't write them down and keep an exhaustive log, you misplace requests. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. Okay, ready to go on to the next item on the RFP? Now, this one I'm suggesting we may want to change. Number 5, this was an optional thing. There are several of these things coming up are optional related to actually voting online, not just requesting information online. Number 5, devise and post optional web-based balloting for the 10 different elections. That's, you know, staff and listener for each of 5 stations. Permit the voter to go to one of 10 different web pages and open one page in which they're eligible to vote as evidenced by entering a valid ID number. Anyway, it kind of goes on, but do we agree that we probably don't want to actually have online voting this year? In other words,
I don't see how you could. I mean, you're going to get your candidate statements in a couple of months. I mean, how?
Well, I'll just say we got responses from almost every vendor last year who said, and we got them in like in February, I believe, and we finished reviewing them by, I think, early March, and including audio interviews by conference call with each one individually, and they all said they could already doing this. These are companies that already do, they handle elections for nonprofits, and all of them said they'd handle both online voting and paper ballots. At least all the ones we were seriously considering said they could do that. So if we decided we wanted it, that's not that big a deal, this part. Now, whether we trust the electronic voting is another issue.
Yeah. True.
And frankly, we didn't really come to complete agreement on this last year. We wanted the vendors to convince us that they could do. They could verify that all the ballots were valid and not, you know, allow ballot stuffing and stuff like that.
And I assume that the vendor said that they could, and there just wasn't a clear consensus that people believe them.
We disqualified real early, and that was one of the main issues because they didn't. Well, they were also more expensive, and I won't mention the name, but you probably have heard of them. But they said they. They didn't give us any indication they could do verifiable. They could verify them.
Okay.
So, but the others could. Anthony was, and Bonnie were, and Wesley were involved with this last year, so speak up if you have anything to add.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I agree that there ought to be a longer timeline, and I'm thinking even if it might be well to do like a dry run. You know, we had that little simulation that we sent out to the bidders to asking them to.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember how many simulated ballots there were, but there were a very small number. You know, since there's no postage involved or paper, you might even want to do that on a slightly bigger scale, like staff at one station participate in a dry run where they do an electronic vote.
Okay.
Then have it tallied and see if it was successful or not.
Okay. I think Les had suggested maybe starting with the staff elections. Yeah.
But I mean have a experiment before you actually do a real one, and then maybe do them for staff, and then if that all works well, then maybe at the last do the listener elections online, because that's another order of magnitude.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd really like to see Pacifica move to an online voting system at some point, because I'm like desperate to save some money. These things are just getting more expensive all the time. But from everything that I've heard, it sounds like people are pretty cautious about it and have a lot of concerns and questions. And that kind of leads me to believe that you probably want to give it some time to, you know, address problems with the system and address people's concerns. I don't think it's going to be a boilerplate kind of thing. I think people are going to have problems, questions, concerns, things that will need to be modified. And that we should probably assume that we probably can't jam it through in a couple of months. And that may be partially because of the kind of community that we are. But that would be my sense of it.
This might fit with what you suggested before, that we look towards a more comprehensive solution for the following election, which I guess would be in 2 years.
Yeah.
Let's do something a little early for once instead of...
Other comments, anybody?
When you say online, will there still be a place for paper ballots because people that are older or low income don't have a computer?
Yeah, I think it would have to be an option that's available to people that want it.
Oh, okay, because even in 2010, there are people that don't have computers.
I know.
And on that RFP we had last year, all the companies that said they could do electronic voting said they also were already doing hybrid elections where they'd have some electronic and some by paper. So that wasn't a problem for those companies, at least, to do both. Well, so for now, do we want to maybe recommend just consider doing a test election, as Anthony was saying, perhaps with a staff election? But think about more how to do online election, not for this year, but perhaps in the future.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Are you getting notes on all this, Tracy?
I am.
Okay. I'm getting a few notes too. Okay. And let's see. Number six. Mail replacement ballots. Brent says approximately 5% of original mailing is necessary. Of course, especially for WBI, there were much more than 5%. This is where potentially cost could really increase. And I guess, again, it relates to the databases. Because replacement ballots typically cost more to mail each because you may have to do them first class as opposed to standard class mail so that you'll get there in a day or two. And plus, you may be doing them individually. It's more work involved. But again, this is the kind of thing do we want to consider contracting out?
Could you state exactly what the task is again? I'm sorry, Bill. I just need to...
Well, it just says mail replacement ballots.
Oh, mailing the replacement ballots.
As necessary, right. So, of course, before that, you have to have a way of determining who you send them to and deciding if the requests are valid.
Right.
And those functions could be separated.
Well, like I said, I think the determining that it's valid stuff sometimes, not always,
mm-hmm.
is one of those judgment call, local review kinds of things. I mean, I remember puzzling over several versions of, you know, stories that people gave me and trying to figure out what that meant in the context of the database and whose mistake this was. And it's kind of hard to imagine contracting that. Do you think there would be a savings in actually, you know, having like a central mailing service that would just, you know, take orders basically from the LESs and just mail things?
How did the actual mailing work when you were LES? Did you get to do them or did it go through the NES?
No, I did them. Theoretically, it was supposed to go through the NES, but on the other hand, I was in the same city as the NES. We're right next door. And there was a reasonably high level of trust. So basically, the NES kept control of the replacement ballots, but I went in and mailed things and issued a, you know, and kept a log of everything I mailed. And didn't mail, in other words, all the replacement requests that I was processing. That year they were not so terrible. They were very intense for a couple of days. You know, the volume had like a period of time when it was nuts. But the overall quantity wasn't that bad.
Okay.
I know the other LESs had to send their requests to Berkeley, and then they were processed one by one, and that was really slow. And I don't think that's a good system.
Other comments, anybody, on the mailing of replacement ballots?
One problem was I guess you'd call them the pancake requests. People would ask for a ballot. You know, they thought their ballot was late, so they requested a replacement, didn't receive it promptly, so made another request. And, of course, only one can be valid. But I guess they dealt with that okay. When one was returned, the other barcode was invalidated, as I understand it. But still, if the replacements were sent more promptly, we wouldn't have had that problem in the first place, I would think.
Well, let's see. I mean, the thing with centralizing the replacement requests is that then you have a process where they have to come in from someone. They have to be locally verified. You know, there's usually some element of verifying. And then they have to go out to the central mailing place. And I think there's a time issue with all those steps. So what would be the more comprehensive? I mean, well, I don't know what the answer is to that.
Let me make a suggestion, just a possibility. Okay, suppose we had one place people could call, or both do have a website and also maybe a phone request, where every one of these would get logged, and then the request would go to the LES for verification, and then the LES would just say yes or no, and then an election vendor or somebody else would do the actual mailing. Trying to reduce the work on the LES and provide some traceability and just make sure it gets done in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what the best way of doing that would be.
Well, it looks like the other piece that we talked about contracting out was, again, you know, the layout and the printing and the mailing. So assuming it's that same vendor who then, you know, has all the excess ballots in a certain place, you know, back from the printer. Then it might not be a terrible thing for them to sort of set up a central, you know, clearinghouse to take requests, be responsible for sort of running them through the LESs, you know, yes, no, and then mailing out the replacement ballots. The only thing that would probably fall through the cracks there would be the really last-minute replacement ballots. So at some point, you probably have to get a quantity of replacement ballots out to your LES.
Okay.
Because, like, 2 days before... that doesn't work anymore.
Yep.
And you just have to be able to hand someone a ballot because it's the end.
Okay. Comments? Anybody else? just, you know, this vendor might just be an individual with some helpers at one of the stations, too. I don't know, whatever would work, but we just need some way of making sure it gets handled efficiently. Okay, so are we thinking for a recommendation to the whole committee that we have a central place, several website for requesting replacement ballot requests, and also, I guess, a central, but either a central or individual phones numbers for each station where the request could be taken and logged, and then the next step would be the LESs would verify eligibility of the people requesting them, and I guess, and what take out the codes for the original ballot if there was one. What's the term, Tracy?
Yeah.
Okay.
You would take out for the original ballot.
And then send.
I thought that. Oops, sorry to interrupt, but I thought that step only happens when a ballot is actually returned. Then they cancel out the previous barcode.
Whenever you send out another, and you've already sent one, you must X out the previous code.
But
so if the original ballot ever turns up, it's void.
But as I thought they did it last year was when the ballot was processed, then that canceled the barcodes of any other ballots that were sent to that subscriber.
No, you have, I think, unless I'm wrong, and they changed it, that you have to do something within the database in order to cancel out the barcode, because the computer is going to be fed a list of valid barcodes.
Mm-hmm. I thought that's how they did it last year, and then that seemed like the best way to go, because, you know, the problem is someone asks for a replacement and then a second replacement, but then they vote the first replacement when it finally arrives. So then,
that is a way to solve the pancaking problem, and it might be that Renee made that change in order to accommodate that problem, and you sure could.
I think that's what she did, if I'm not mistaken.
If we get all this information either by phone or web and get people's email addresses, we could send them automatic updates on their request, like, yeah, we got it. Yeah, it's being checked. You're being checked for verification. Yeah, we're going to be sending you another one on this date or something like that. Maybe that would reduce the duplicate requests, which I guess is more work for everybody.
But down the line, probably the people who are requesting paper ballots are going to be the ones who don't have, at least much computer access.
Yeah.
Down the line, sure, but in the short term, it would probably work like this.
So we're talking about the 2010 election, mostly.
Yeah. I still think there's something to be said for centralizing, but, replacement requests of some kind, because with online voting, you're also going to have the business of, like, barcodes of some kind. And people are still going to lose them and want replacements emailed out, is my guess.
Oh, they'll accidentally delete their email.
Oh, of course they will. They'll lose their password. I mean, you know, whatever. Even if it's a voluntary login, people will forget their password eternally. I mean, there's always something.
Right.
Okay, so what are we deciding that we want to recommend?
I think that we are deciding that we want to recommend that, you know, if there's a bank of work that we're looking at contracting, that it would include sort of some sort of centralized website and maybe 800 number that people could call for replacement ballots.